fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Tonight on this radio show, we will hear from Anthony Rumble Johnson, who takes on Lil Nog Antonio Hajeria Nogueira in the co-main event this Saturday in San Jose, California, an event that will be headlined by the welterweight contender bout between the immortal Matt Brown and ruthless Robbie Lawler, the winner likely getting a title shot versus current welterweight champion Big Rig Johnny Hendricks. We're also going to hear from Mark Hominick, the machine. Touched base with him. We haven't heard from him in quite some time. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming tournament, the Sean Tompkins third annual Memorial Golf Tournament going down just west of London, Ontario. We'll also bring on the promoter, I guess, the founder, the guy who puts it all together, Joe Botnick. We'll get his thoughts on the latest and greatest from the tournament. And we'll also hear from Frank Trigg about the world of mixed martial arts. It was a crazy week last week with so many things going down in Atlantic City with the Cowboy, Donald Cerrone defeating Jim Miller, Conor McGregor showcasing an exceptional prediction comes true in the first round, defeating Diego Brandão, and so much more from the world of MMA, most specifically from the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So let's not waste any time whatsoever. Let's bring on Twinkle Toes himself, Frank Trigg. Mr. Trigg, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, actually. It's not a bad day now that I'm down in L.A.
Well, now that you're in L.A., you're like a world traveler. I never know where you are anymore.
It's okay, because I hardly ever know either.
All right, it was a busy week last week in the world of mixed martial arts, specifically for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. We'll try and go in chronological order, but that's never a promise whenever both of us are on the mic. So let's start off with Cowboy Cerrone, an amazing victory over Jim Miller. The fight with Nurmagomedov was basically set. 20 minutes later, the Kazakhstani basically, or not his Kazakhstani, the Russian basically blows out his knee 20 minutes later. That fight is not going to happen. Do you see anyone for Cowboy Cerrone that you'd like to see him take on?
You know, the problem with Cowboy Cerrone is that he's always been up and down and up and down. The tough fights, he always seems to fall being apart. Well, Jim Miller was a tough fight. And we saw that how he was falling apart in the beginning of the first round. Then all of a sudden he starts coming back, and Cerrone starts putting himself back together again. Then you realize that Cowboy has come over that hump. At this point, it doesn't matter anymore who you give to Cerrone, because there's no more tests for him out there. Cowboy is confident enough, athletic enough, and strong enough to beat the next guy in line for the title. But the question is, will that actually happen? I don't care who they put in front of Cowboy. I have a feeling if there's anybody, number one contender on down, that he ends up being the guy that's going to knock everybody out. He's now got himself in the right position, the right frame of mind, that he's going to be able to put everybody out that he wants to.
Do you think his request to fight six times a year is simply too much for the human body?
Yeah, let's be honest. You figure it out, you know, if you're in training camp 8 weeks, you know, three times a year, 6 months of training camp, and your body doesn't have enough time to heal up and get together. Cowboy's thought about fighting six times a year because now he feels good. But the reality of it is that you may still feel good, but you're going to be just like that 100th of a second off in your punching strength. You're going to be just 100th of a second off in your foot motion, and that's the difference between winning a fight and getting knocked out in the fight. So if we got to fight six times, your body just can't heal enough. There's just not enough time to get all the little small micro tears put together. And imagine if he gets one big, you know, the way he punches and kicks, he catches somebody's elbow one time with his foot, he breaks his foot. He catches his knee sometime, or he catches somebody's forehead one time with his hand, he breaks his hand. Now he's all of a sudden, he's out, you know, 6 to 8 weeks before he can start a training camp again. Six times is way too much for anybody to compete in a year.
In terms of Nurmagomedov, though, they're talking about, excuse me, his knee as meniscus, a torn meniscus. He's going to need surgery. They're saying he's going to be out till January of 2015. Is that fair, 6 months, when you're talking about surgery to meniscus?
Well, it depends on your style and who you are. Like, a lot of guys, you know, I've had some meniscus surgeries done, and you're out maybe, you know, 3-4 weeks before you're back to full go. But during that 3-4 weeks, what happens to your body? Like, how far away are you now from the fight? So you get 3-4 weeks out, and all of a sudden you're back in a training camp, and you're moving towards getting ready for a training camp. It's another 4 weeks. You're looking at 2 months. Then all of a sudden you're in a training camp. You could fight feasibly then 8 weeks later, 2 months later. So you're looking at like a 4-month window. He's saying 6 months because Sanders is set back in the middle of this, so he can't move as quickly as he wants to. And also, he moves a lot. He runs a lot during training camp. It's going to be difficult for him with a torn meniscus and meniscus repair to get back into that space where he can actually run and hit stuff a lot. When I started having meniscus repairs, I got on the bike. I started riding a lot more, so I wasn't running as much because I couldn't take the heat on my knee. This is a situation where he wants to be able to still be able to run, still be able to put the pounding on the pavement. If he wants to be able to do that, 6 months is a fair window, specifically to get back in the full training camp, have his knee and his body fully healed, and be able to fight. So January of 2015 is very reasonable for a guy that has a long career.
On the line right now with Frank Trigg. Make sure you follow Frank online via Twitter, at Frank Trigg. His Instagram account is absolutely fantastic as well, at Frank Trigg. Follow yours truly, at Showdown Joe. A few days later, though, last week on Saturday in Dublin, Ireland, Conor McGregor makes a prediction and sticks to it. First round destruction of Diego Brandão. This kid has an amazing trajectory when it comes to pay-per-view one day, but he still has to defeat someone in the top 10. They are talking now, or they've basically confirmed, Dustin Poirier. Your thoughts on that bout with the notorious one in Diamond Poirier?
Well, you know, Poirier called him out. I was like, look, he hasn't fought anybody tough, and he hasn't really beat anybody, you know, and everyone's got this hype around this kid that's basically in the UFC because he's on TV and can sell a Dublin show because there's only really been, you know, to my knowledge, and forgive me, Joe, if I'm wrong, there's only been real two Irishmen that have ever fought in the UFC that are worth their salt. And Conor McGregor happens to be one of them. The other guy is Marcus Davis, the Irish hand grenade, who's actually American, just of Irish descent. So this is a big deal for a guy that's able to sell cars in Ireland and make the Irish, you know, get behind a particular fighter. But when Dustin said that, I kind of looked around and was like, well, hold on a second. Conor has fought a couple of good guys, but, you know, really what has he done? And then you go back and you look at these guys he's fought. He really hasn't, like you said, battled anybody in the top 10. And Diego Brandão walked in, you know, he had no foot motion. He's throwing punches, and Conor's got an amazing footwork for boxing. He knows how to punch while he's going backwards. He knows how to cut angles while he's going backwards. And once you start to fall down, he can change his direction and start coming forwards to finish you off, which is what we saw when he fought Brandão. Poirier is much better than Brandão. Poirier is a huge step up for Conor. Conor has the mental capability to handle it. He's got the physical skills, but Poirier gives a different situation. Poirier's a guy to get hit several times and keep coming after you. He's a guy that's a great grappler. He's going to put him down on the ground and be able to get on top of him if he chooses to. And he's a guy that will not go away. A lot of the guys that Conor seems to fight right now almost get hit two or three times by Conor with his power and want to find a way out of it. Where Dustin Poirier gets hit two or three times by Conor, it's my guess. He gets hit two or three times by Conor's power. He gets mad. He gets irritated. He wants to find a way to try to get back to Conor. And it's a different situation that Conor's ever been in. I really love this fight because both guys are meeting in the middle and they're going to start to swing, but it's not going to be a swing for the fences. It's not going to be a brawl. It's going to be a smart fight. Both guys are going to fight with very good boxing science and very good wrestling takedown defense. It's going to be a great, amazing fight. If Conor gets off first, he has a shot of winning it early. But if Dustin gets off first and hits him a little bit hard, where Conor kind of feels the power, then Dustin will be able to steamroll him very quickly.
I sort of agree that we love this fight, but it's bittersweet for guys up here in Canada, most specifically in Toronto, because that fight should have been on the Toronto card, which has now been moved to your hometown in Las Vegas, Nevada. John Bones Jones taking on Alexander Gustafsson there. But if we could stick to Conor McGregor for one moment, I look at this guy and I think to myself, with champion Jose Aldo, not really, as Dana White says, moves the needle. He never said Jose doesn't move the needle, but when you look at a guy like Conor McGregor, he does move that proverbial virtual needle that the UFC talks about here. This guy, in my opinion, should he ever become a world champion under the Ultimate Fighting Championship, this guy, I think, will put the 145-pound division on the map, one that could sell a lot of pay-per-views. Your thoughts?
Well, I think actually he could rival Ronda Rousey. I think that he's a guy that is at a smaller weight class at 145 pounds that really the world doesn't really pay attention to internationally, you know, as an overall host, because, you know, North America, we love the bigger guys. Everyone tends to, you know, angle towards 85, 205, and heavyweight. When Alexander Conor is going to put 145 pounds on the map, which he already has, make him the world champ, give him pay-per-view buys. That kid is money hungry. He knows how to make money. Once he realizes that he's going to get paid off of the pay-per-view buys that come in, you know, whether it's 50 cents, 25 cents, or a dollar, makes no difference, he's going to hunt that money down, so he's going to find a way to sell the fight. He's going to rival Ronda Rousey in the ability to be able to sell a fight. He's going to rival Ronda Rousey in the ability that pay-per-view buys. This is what's going to happen, and he is absolutely outstanding and absolutely amazing at the lighter weight class, and a guy that will be a star if he ever makes it to the top end. Right now, The question is it, can he actually get there? And it's a 50-50 shot still at this point. And we have to see what happens when he gets his first devastating loss. Well, he's winning a fight and he gets caught afterwards. What happens to his psyche, his personality after that? If it stays the same, the kid's a champ, the kid's a hero, because there's nothing better than seeing a guy like Chael Sonnen takes a loss and keeps talking. That is so polarizing for the fans to watch. He'll gain so many more fans or so many more enemies, it doesn't make a difference because everybody buys a pay-per-view, and that's what he wants. Everybody's going to want to see him fight to see what happens to him next. He is very polarizing. Like you said, he moves the needle. He doesn't move the needle. He picks it up and throws it across the room. This kid is incredible.
All right, we move forward to Saturday in San Jose, California. We can see this bout, or all these fights on sports. They will kick things off with the main event, Robbie Lawler taking on Matt Brown. This is a dogfight, in my opinion. Well, let me rephrase that. If it's a dogfight, it's Matt Brown's fight. If it's a stick and move, stay in the pocket, get out sort of thing, it's a Robbie Lawler fight. Your take on this incredible fight that could see the next contender to the welterweight title.
You know, Matt Brown has to lay in there, get in tight, get in hard on Robbie, lay him down. Pull on him, lay on him rather than lay him down. Pull his head down, pull his arms down. Not allow him to get off and get punching. Robbie's best position, like you said, is when stick and move. He's on the outside. He's not all the way on the outside like a long ranger, but he's got a great uppercut, a great hook, and can smack you just as hard in the first as he can in the fifth. There's a guy that knows how to hit you hard the entire fight. Matt Brown, on the other hand, if he's inside and pushing on you, leaning on you, he's got great dirty boxing, can make it a brawl, can slow the pace down and slow down the ability to get hit by Robbie, and then keep attacking. The only way that Robbie's going to be able to keep Matt on the outside is hit him on his way in. Because just the way fights go, eventually you're going to end up in full contact chest to chest. And Matt likes that position. He's going to force himself in there. Robbie's going to hit him on the way in, but can he hit him clean and can he hit him hard? This fight, for me, is still a pick-em. I'm having a very difficult time picking it apart. But the later it goes, the longer it goes, the more advantage I give to Robbie Lawler, because then he starts getting his timing down. He starts getting his confidence down. He starts figuring out how to take a half step to the side and a full pivot to get out of the way of Matt as he comes in and catch him with that incredible uppercut that Robbie's had for years. This is a guy, Robbie's a guy that has one-punch knockout power late in the fight, where Matt Brown seems to have one-punch knockout power early in the fight, but can still TK you later in the fight because he starts to wear you down. I don't know if Robbie Lawler can be worn down anymore because now he's American top team in most of his training camp. I don't think he has the ability to be worn down anymore because Lombardo is making sure that he's in great shape and never has a position that he doesn't understand how to get out of to get to a spot where he can punch. But also now Matt Hughes is taking a bigger role in getting Robbie ready for his fights. Matt spent the last two and a half weeks down there trying to get Robbie ready, old school style of dragging on him, pulling on him, which is what Matt Brown's going to do.
Anthony Johnson in the co-main event taking on Antonio Hajeri Nogueira. Nogueira, in my opinion, has been out for far too long. AJ brings a lot of speed to this fight. Who do you give the edge into this bout?
AJ all the way. It's unfortunate, Nogueira. You know, this fight, you know, with AJ today and Nogueira back in his prime, you know, when maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, would have been a great fight. The problem is, Nogueira, is like you said, he's been out for far too long. He's had too many very, very big, bad injuries throughout his entire career. And now, having some time off and then coming in, it's not going to be any better against a guy like AJ that has finally found his weight class. He's finally found his strength. He's finally grown into the size that he needs to be grown into and is able to, it really has a lot more confidence. When I talked to AJ a couple of days ago, he is so confident about this fight, but also so humble and respectful of Nogueira. He understands that he's dangerous. He understands what can happen if he gets down the ground. At some point, he can get caught in a triangle Uma Plata armbar sequence. Which position is he going to be in when he gets caught in it? Can he get out of it? He understands this is what's going to happen. But he also understands that the Nogueira brothers are pioneers in our sport and have really set the pace for guys that know how to strike and know how to grapple from the bottom. And Anthony is very, very aware of this, but AJ is not taking any prisoners. He understands that he needs to put himself at the top of the heap. He's got to do it quickly. He's going to do it with this fight.
Pivotal bout in the featherweight division with Clay Guida taking on Dennis Bermudez, the menace has been on an absolute tear right now. I think with the youth advantage, he may have it over Clay Guida. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Bermudez has got the youth advantage. He also has the advantage that people have kind of figured out Clay. He moves a lot, doesn't really touch you that much, but looks good for the judges who win the judges' decisions because hair is flying all over the place. He's always in and out. He's bouncing around like a rabbit. He's got great energy. And when he hits you, he makes it look like he hit you really, really hard. But he really doesn't do that much damage. People are starting to figure that out. Bermudez has figured that out. And with the tears that Bermudez is on right now, and being a little bit younger and having that same kind of energy, that same kind of energy that he brings to a fight where he's going to be after the entire time, a lot of motion, a lot of movement, I think Ramirez is going to be able to win this fight in decision. And I have a feeling if he hits Clay flush one time in the middle of the second or third round, I think he could finish his fight as well.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. Now, the guy that I want to see Donald Cowboy Cerrone face off next is Josh Thompson. Josh has a tough fight, though, in Bobby Green. I do think he will emerge victorious, but how do you break this one down?
Josh wins his fight, but it's going to be very, very difficult. It's one of those long, drawn-out, pushed-off decisions. And you're right. I would love to see Thompson fight Cerrone. I didn't say anything about Thompson because he's got a fight this weekend. And then it becomes a problematic of, you know, I know Cerrone just fought. Thompson will just fight this weekend. It'll be a long, you know, 8 to 12 week layoff before anybody has a conversation, a real hard conversation about these two fighting each other. But Green is a tough guy that if Josh doesn't pay attention now, if he's thinking about Cerrone already, he's going to get beat by Green. Because Green has the ability to kind of figure a way out of it, figure a way how to get in there, how to battle, and how to push the pace when he needs to. But a guy like Josh Thompson, who's just too good when it comes down to the ability of being able to catch a guy and push the pace. If you look at their records, they're very evenly matched record-wise. You know, Thompson at 20-6, I believe. Tell me if I'm wrong, Joe. And Bermudez is still around 25-6, 25-5, somewhere in that neighborhood. Both these guys, from a record standpoint, are very, very close. But then you look at Bobby Green's TKO-KO record. He's got about a 10% difference in the overall fight pattern of how he knocks guys out, he finishes the fight. And they're very, very evenly matched everywhere else, except the cardio shape that Josh has forced himself to get into for this one. So Josh is in a position where he's evenly matched with a guy that has a better cardio shape. Don't ever let Josh prove he's in better shape than you. Because once he realizes he's in better shape than you, he picks up the pace and goes harder. And I don't think Green is going to be able to follow that pace the entire time that Josh is going to have it. I think Josh wins a decision easily. But look for Josh to finish the fight sometime around the third round.
Well, you were bang on with Josh Thompson. Josh Thompson's record at 26. Bobby Green is almost 50-50 with the way he finishes fights. And as always, you always bring your A game. Thank you very much for your time, Frank. I know you're a busy guy. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it, too. I'll talk to you guys soon.
There you have it. Frank Trigg, all the way from Los Angeles, probably doing some cycling while he's out there, always doing some bike work. And this guy never stops in the gym, no matter. Every time I'm talking to Frank, it's a matter of connecting with this guy. Who knows what time is available because he's in the gym. You know, could be at 6 in the morning, could be at 2 in the afternoon. But this guy does not stop working out. He puts in a lot of hard work. Just like my next guest, Joe Botnick, Relentless Joe B, who is putting on the third annual golf tournament for Sean Tompkins in memory of the coach. And we bring him on right now. As always, an honor and a pleasure to have Relentless Joe B. Get on Twitter, follow him at Relentless Joe B, Mr. Joe Botnick. He is the creator, founder, and the guy that puts in the most work, if not all the work, in my opinion, for the annual Sean Tompkins Memorial Golf Tournament. For more information, make sure you go online. Just go to Facebook.com/ Sean Tompkins Golf Tourney. But we welcome Joe Botnick right now. Mr. Botnick, how are you today?
Hey, Joe, I'm doing really, really good. Good to chat with you, as always, and thanks for the kind words.
No problem. Well, we're obviously very excited for the celebration once again in honor of the coach. Anything specific this year that might be different from the past 2 years?
You know, you have some sponsors that, you know, they come back year after year, and, you know, we're super grateful for their support. But we do have a couple of new things this year. You know, in particular, we've got a custom shirt for every registered golfer that's going to come out. Plus, we'll have them available for sale as well for anybody who's not golfing. But, you know, just coming out to lend a hand, volunteer, or is just going to come out for the dinner. And that custom shirt is offered to us by Fear the Fighter, and it's dedicated and specifically for this third annual Sean Tompkins Memorial Golf Tournament. It's a beautiful piece of work. We've put some pics out on Facebook and Twitter, and I expect that it'll probably be available online for purchase as well in the next few weeks. So that in and of itself is pretty exciting. And, you know, we'll probably have a few different sponsors, a few different prizes, and I expect there's going to be a couple of different games at the holes and some interesting activities as well. So a couple surprises, but expecting a fantastic day.
Now, last year you gave us a couple of Team Tompkins golf balls. I think a roll for each person, at least three for each person. Any chance I can get a bucket instead? Because you see me, when I skank those shots, they're gone.
I don't have enough golf balls in a bucket for you, Joe.
Does not surprise me at all. In terms of preparing, though, for this tournament, it is a lot of work. And, you know, guys like Mark Hominick are always thankful for the work you do, and the guys over at Adrenaline Training Center. Do you actually get a hand nowadays for people to try and step in and try and help you out? Because you put so much work in there that when I see you the morning of, I don't even want to say hi to you, because you're just like, you're probably tired and exhausted.
Well, you know, it's a labor of love. There's no doubt about it. You know, next to my family, it's probably the most meaningful event that I spend the year preparing and getting ready for it. But, yeah, there's people behind the scenes that, you know, help out through different projects and different activities along the way. And we have a ton of volunteers that come out on the day of, you know, to make sure that everything goes like clockwork. And, you know, the feedback we get is it's one of the best golf tournaments that people have been at. And I'm not saying that because I have any involvement in it. I'm just saying that, you know, we really try to create an experience where, you know, not only as a fan of MMA and UFC, and, you know, you come out and you get to spend time with, you know, people from media and some of the UFC fighters, and, you know, we probably have one or two NHLers out there. But at the end of the day, you know, people just say it's, you know, it's a great experience. They have a great time. And, of course, we raise money for our charity partner, St. Leonard Society of London, Ontario. So, yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Now, for those that know me, I absolutely love to golf. My game is actually getting better courtesy of some new irons that were presented to me on my birthday. So my game is actually picking up, and I've been to my fair share of golf events, and I say it all the time, this is one of my favorites, just because the way you run it, Joe, and it's a great experience. It's a great course. I absolutely love it. That's why I keep going, and that's why I keep bringing the UFC Central cameras there, because Sportsnet absolutely loves this event as well. I mean, to put something like this on, when do you start planning you know, to start getting everything ready to get? Do you start like the day after last year's event?
Well, it starts the day after. It's more about the thank yous and the follow-up. So there's a little bit of activity shortly thereafter. But, you know, I'd say probably January, February, things really start to heat up a little bit. And, you know, it's a few hours each month. But, you know, I mean, we're in full force right now. So it's evenings, it's weekends, you know, you just never know. The thing that, you know, really kind of, you know, gets me stoked about the whole event and gets excited about it. You never know when you have a conversation and you reach out to somebody, you know, what can come of it. And I'll give you one example of that. You know, we're always looking for, you know, additional sponsors or new sponsors, because at the end of the day, we really want to raise, you know, some money for charity as well as, you know, the whole atmosphere and the experience for everybody. So I just happened to walk into an ED Games retailer in my hometown of London, Ontario. And sometimes you go into these national chains and, you know, somebody's at the desk and, you know, basically it's their job to say, hi, sorry, I can't help you, and leave it at that. Well, they were kind enough to give me the contact person who's the marketing director for all of Canada. I sent an email. I explained what we're doing, what we're all about, where the charity money is going to. And EB Games signed up as a great sponsor. They actually donated a complete, I believe it's an Xbox station and console, including monitor, directly to the St. Leonard's, because they do a lot of work with youth and youth at risk. So this will go right to, you know, one of their facilities. So they're thankful for that. And they're sending us a bunch of stuff for our prize and auction table as well. So if you're a gamer, I mean, that's just one example of some great support. And like I say, just you have a conversation to say hello, and you just don't know where it can go. So that's the fun part in this whole process.
Well, there's other fun parts for yours truly, because you never know what's going to happen when you get guys like myself. You know, Brendan Press has been around. You got Chris Hordeski, Mark Hominick, Sam Stout, Malcolm Gordon. You never know what's going to happen. Do you go into babysitter mode, or do you just say, you know what, Showdown Joe's the oldest guy there, he'll control everybody?
I try and step back at that point, because I realize, A, on the day of, I have absolutely no control whatsoever. And B, you know, with guys like, you know, Hominick and Stout around, if they can't keep these guys in line, nobody can.
Very good point. Very, very good point. All right, before we let you go, I'm trying to think here. Last year, I was aiming for a couple of hole-in-ones, not on the same tee, obviously, because I was hitting the wrong course or the wrong hole. But any big prizes this year that people can look forward to?
Absolutely. And we've got a hole-in-one for a car. We've got a hole-in-one for Harley Davidson. We have a hole-in-one for $10,000. And we're still working on the last one, but, you know, who knows? There could be some surprises there. I'm also working on, and again, just in conversation right now, I can't confirm it, but I am in conversation with two former UFC superstars who are trying to work their schedule and be able to make it out for the weekend and the golf tournament.
That'd be fantastic. For those that need more information and all the logistics, what can you tell them?
As you said, Joe, go to our Facebook page, Sean Tompkins Memorial Golf Tournament, or you can go to firerockgolf.com, click on the tournaments link, and then there's a link right there for the Sean Tompkins Memorial Golf Tournament. And registration is all online. And when you register, don't forget to include your shirt size.
No doubt. There you have it. Joe Botnick, Relentless Joe B. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Relentless Joe B. All right, coming up after the break, we catch up with one of Sean Tompkins' premier students back in the day, the machine, Mark Hominick, and we'll also hear from Anthony Rumble Johnson ahead of his fight with Antonio Hajuria Nogueira. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. We heard earlier on Frank Trigg breaking down some of the fights, most specifically with Anthony Rumble Johnson and Antonio Rogério Nogueira, Lil Nog. Don't get it mixed up with Big Nog. I think my mind, because they're twins, I just did that. But Lil Nog is back after quite some time. We'll get to Anthony Rumble Johnson in a moment. We'll also hear from the machine, Mark Hominick. It's catching up with him, talking about the latest and greatest from the Adrenaline Gym in London, Ontario, one of my favorite places to visit whenever I get a chance to leave the greater metropolis of Toronto, Ontario. But a big fight card going down this Saturday in San Jose, California. Man, I would love to be there, but I'll be able to watch it like yourselves on Sportsnet 360. It's going to be a fantastic fight, or fantastic card when you think about it from top to bottom, the way Frank and I broke it down. At the same time, that main event is absolutely incredible. Matt the Immortal Brown taking on ruthless Robbie Lawler. So much at stake there. The winner likely with a wonderful performance. I mean, can you predict this fight not being exceptional, not being exciting? I mean, two guys with this type of style, I know it's happened so many times in the past when you get so many different people or different fighters matched up, you expect fireworks, but these two here, really, I mean, can you really expect a bad fight here? I don't think so. I think it's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be absolutely fantastic, and the winner likely being Johnny Hendrickson's first title defense. Can you imagine Johnny Hendricks, like I mentioned on UFC Central, his first title defense could be the actual guy he defeated for the vacant title? I mean, that would be absolutely crazy. What a rematch that would be. And if Matt the Immortal Brown emerges victorious, oh my goodness, he finally defeats a guy in the top 10, he gets a title shot. I mean, what an absolutely incredible story this guy could become in 2014. This run is already epic as is, but man, if he takes out ruthless Robbie Lawler, Matt Brown will officially be legit. Nobody, anyone out there cannot say otherwise. If they do, then you know what, just ignore them, because they're being absolutely silly. But one guy that pretty much everyone gave up on was Anthony Rumble Johnson. He comes back to the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I'm sick and tired of the weight jokes and will he make weight or not. I'm over it. I mean, he did a great job on the scale when he took on Phil Davis, and an even better performance in the octagon, taking out Mr. Wonderful. He's back. He's taking on Antonio Hajuria Nogueira, and he joins us right now. AJ, what's going on, my man?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, but before, listen, we know you got a fight on Saturday, you got to cut weight and all that jazz. I want to know what the latest is with the dogs, and I mean, how many dogs do you actually have? Because every time I'm looking at your Instagram, I'm thinking, which one is this?
Yeah, I have like 10, man. I have like 10 dogs, you know, but sometimes it's hard to remember all of them names. If I see one, I call that one the other one's name. You know what I mean? There's so many dogs.
What is it with your love with pit bulls? Where did this all come from?
I love, you know, the bully breed in general. I love all breeds, really. Just, you know, the stamina the dogs have, the way they're built, and their loyalty, you know. You can't beat that.
No,
you
know, for sure.
You know, you see a pit bull, of course, you know, besides the rep that, you know, people have given them, you know, you see the dog, you're like, oh my God, this dog is ready for battle no matter what. You know, I like that type of look. You know, that's like, I'd rather have a Lamborghini than a Beetle. You know what I'm saying? So, I just like the look.
Absolutely. For those that have never seen Anthony's Instagram account, you got to check it out, because there's times when he's just lying on the couch, and when they want attention, man, it can be a pretty scene. And when they start falling asleep on you, I don't know how you get up without waking them up.
Well, I have no choice but to grab them and tell them to go somewhere. You know what I mean? They're always on top of me, wanting to cuddle. You know what I'm saying? They always want to sleep on top of me in every position possible. So it gets tiring sometimes, but they're my dogs, and I love them to death, so I let them get away with a lot.
For sure. Now, in terms of, do you incorporate them in your training, like when you go for runs at all?
No, my dogs are too lazy for that. They're too spoiled for that. They go outside. My dog Masaki, she'll go outside and stay outside 5 minutes, and then she's laying down. Especially if I'm walking. If I try to walk her and she walks for 5 minutes, like around the block, if I try and walk 3 times, she's only walking 1 block. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? She'll lay down Superman style and just chill. Won't move.
That's absolutely hilarious. All right, let's move forward here to the training camp that you've had to prepare for. Antonio Hajeria Nogueira, Lil Nog. How was training camp leading up to this week?
It was awesome. It was great. I had no injuries. My guys helped me out a ton. The big guys, you know, had fights before me, you know, so whenever I started my camp, they were basically halfway through with their camp. So by the time they had their fight, I was halfway through with my camp, so I didn't get to mess with the big guys that much, but the time that I had with them was awesome. But these little guys that I have, you know, training with me, they are amazing. The little guys at my gym help me out so much. They're so fast, and, you know, they give me a great look with training. So I love them to death. Training camp has been awesome.
Every fight's different, obviously. You took on Phil Davis beforehand. When you look back at that fight with Mr. Wonderful, you were victorious, but were there any lessons learned in that bout where you said, you know what, I can't do that and I should do this moving forward?
Of course, you know. He hit me a couple of times when he shouldn't have hit me, you know. I think that's when I was just, like, got too relaxed or a little flat-footed or something like that, you know. But overall, I think my performance was pretty good. I was pretty upset with myself because I didn't knock him out. Almost had the knockout if he hadn't put his hand up on that high kick.
Well, it was a great performance, and I remember, you know, the sense and the feeling that when we were around, it was sort of like, wow, Anthony's back. This is unbelievable with this performance here. But now they offer up Lil Nog. When you first were told, listen, we're going to give you a legend in Nogueira, what went through your mind?
Okay, let's do it.
Just like that?
That's it. That's all. All right, let's do it. Let's fight. Because in this sport, you know, people want to call out each other all the time. But I'm like, there's enough food in this sport to go around for everybody. So what's the point of calling each other out? I think it's good for the sport, but I think it's pointless too. You know, we have so much talent in every weight class. Don't worry, you're going to get your chance to fight whoever you want to fight. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see myself no better than Lil Nog just because I'm ranked higher than him. I don't see him any better than me. I don't see anybody that's ranked higher than me any better than me, and I'm sure they don't see me better than them. That's what I'm saying. To me, you know, these rankings and all that stuff means nothing. The only thing that's worth anything is if you're the champion, and that's it. If you're not the champion, to me, you're on the same field level of playing field as I am, no matter what your rank.
Fair enough. Now, in terms of preparing for a guy like Nogueira, he's been around forever. There's tons of tape out there. Do you sit there or do your coaches sit there and dissect him? Or is it, you know what, it doesn't really matter what he brings. He brings certain things, but this is what I need to do when we step into that cage.
Yeah, I mean, my coaches are like, you know, hey, this is what we do. This is how we're going to do it. You know, the combinations and the way I train and fight, it's the same thing we do during training. We just try to perfect whatever punch or kick or whatever I'm going to do, you know. So for this training camp, nothing really changed. You know, I just, you know, do whatever I do a little bit more, you know. So we'll see what happens. I can't really spill the beans and give you my game plan.
No, that, I would never ask for that. But when I look at a situation like this, the first thing, you know, the fans will come up to me and say, well, listen, AJ's got the speed advantage, and I agree. And they say that, you know, Lil Nog's been off for quite some time. There's going to be a ring rust. And I always say, well, listen, ring rust, you know, is one thing, but not early in the fight. Is that something you expect for him to be ready to go in those first 5 minutes, at least 7 minutes into the second round, and then realize, you know what, if this thing's still going on, he may fade away, but there's no guarantee?
Oh, the no guarantees don't fade at all. These guys can almost have their head cut off and still trying to go. These guys fight with so much pride. I don't think he's going to have ring rust. He has way too much experience to have ring rust, you know. He's an animal. He's a beast, man, you know. And he doesn't have any injuries for this fight, as far as I know. And he's going to come prepared. I mean, being out for 18 months, he had a lot of time to train and get everything working on all cylinders, you know. So I'm looking forward to the best Nogueira there is.
I had one person come up to me, and Anthony, you've known me long enough. When I disagree with someone's assessment, I just simply smile and sort of, yeah, thank you, no problem, and walk away. Well, this one person said to me, once Nogueira gets AJ down to the ground, it's lights out or it's going to be over for Anthony. And I said, okay, that's your opinion. Have you heard stuff like that before?
I mean, people have wrote comments on, you know, my Instagram and Facebook and Twitter saying, you know, keep it off the ground, stuff like that, you know. And I'm like, okay, coach, you know what I'm saying? So, well, you know, which I respect, but you know, they're always trying to give their 2 cents, so that's fine with me. But I mean, I'm not afraid of the ground with Nogueira, you know what I mean? I train for that too, you know, so I know his strengths, I know his weaknesses. So, you know, I just gotta go out there and do my thing. I'm not really worried about the ground, I'm not worried about stand up, you know. I'm just that confident in myself and my abilities.
Well, you've already sent shockwaves through the industry when you defeated Phil Davis, especially the fact that people were kind of like, oh, Anthony's in big trouble. And I said, no, this is a fight. Let the referee step out of the way and let them both decide what's going to happen. You defeat him, you send shockwaves, you take out a guy like Lil Nog. What do you think guys like Dana White and the media and stuff like that will be saying about Anthony Johnson? Listen, you still got to go in there and fight. There's no guarantees in life. But, you know, a victory over Lil Nog would be just as impressive, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend. I mean, any victory over a legend is a big deal, you know. I don't know what everybody's going to say, you know, if I win. I don't know what everybody's going to say if I lose. I really don't care. I'm just going out there to fight.
All right, if you had a perfect fight on Saturday night in San Jose, the Hollywood script, what would it be?
We walk in the cage. We cut gloves, I knock him out the next second.
You know, that doesn't surprise me.
Done. Not even breaking a sweat. Just hit him one time and he dropped. That's it. But, you know, in reality, it's not going to be like that. You know what I mean? In my opinion. But I think it's going to be a battle, you know. He's a southpaw. I'm standing. It's going to be a chess match to see who makes the first move and the right move.
All right, before we let you go, Rashad Evans is coming up to my hood up here in a couple of weeks, and I'm hoping you would join him, but I don't know what your schedule is like. Have you talked to Rashad lately, and what's the latest with him?
Yeah, he wrote me yesterday and told me he was proud of me. You know, I talked to him actually last week in the gym. He walked in a little bit, you know, hopping, and gave me a hug and told me, you know, good luck with everything and all that. But, yeah, man, if he's going where you are, I might swing along.
Listen, I might need you here because that guy's always playing practical jokes on me. I'm always on the wrong side. So if I have you here, it's a different story.
Dude, that's what's side. That's what's side. If you do it, what you get.
Listen, we want to thank you very, very much for your time. I know it's going to be, you got some work to do in there, but Saturday night, we're going to be smiling ear to ear when you step into that octagon.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
There you have it, Anthony Rumble Johnson. Make sure you follow him online at Anthony_Rumble. But now we move forward to the machine, Mark Hominick. Mr. Hominick, it has been quite some time. How are you, sir?
Excellent. How about yourself?
Oh, I can't complain. How's life treating you nowadays?
You know what? Busy every day, you know, with the new gym at Adrenaline here, getting guys ready, and obviously the two girls at home. So it's a full schedule, but love being busy.
In terms of the gym, most people don't know that you guys actually relocated. Am I correct?
Yeah, so the start of the year, I moved downtown London, just a bigger location, fresh face for the gym. And, you know, like I said, we keep producing guys, and that's the future of Team Tompkins.
Who are some of the guys that you're still working with right now, obviously UFC bound or already with the UFC, and how are they looking right now?
Well, right now, I'm really getting Malcolm Gordon. He's number one 125er in Canada right now, so we're, you know, getting him ready for the big show. We spent a lot of time with him, and, you know, we have a stable man who's always been here, but he's definitely one of the up-and-comers.
Now, I've seen Malcolm compete. This guy is no joke. He's fast, he's furious, and when this guy slaps on a triangle, it's ugly for a lot of people.
Totally, and he's improving everywhere. And like I said, we just need to get him into the big show. I think, the division's not that deep, so it is hard to find fights. We're just trying to find some real stiff competition to show the UFC that he's ready for the big stage.
I think what you're trying to do right now, Mark, is pitching me to come out to the new gym and do a feature on him. Is that what you're trying to do right now?
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
All right, listen, I'm coming up there, obviously, less than a month's time. In about a month's time for the third annual Sean Tompkins tournament. Always a great event. Your thoughts? I mean, it's the third time Joe Botnick is putting this on. The guy puts in so much work, but it's a wonderful celebration of the coach.
And that's just it. You know, it is our responsibility to carry on his legacy and what he's created. And this, you know, this event just shows that. It shows the support. The one thing I always like is it's not just the MMA community, but it's his family, it's his friends, it's the people he grew up with. So it's definitely a day of celebration.
In terms of your golf game, is it improving or is it still the same?
Well, I think the last game I played was last year, so you've seen some of the highlights on your show.
Well, listen, my game's actually finally improving. I'm doing pretty good, but there's nothing better than being on the course with a lot of guys. Most people don't realize you can relate a lot from the world of golf to the world of mixed martial arts because you've got to be focused every swing.
Oh, there's no question, and hey, I think that's the main thing. But I like to just go there and have fun because if I start thinking about it too much, it makes too serious, and I'm throwing clubs in the lake.
Hordeski style, right?
Well, you know, he's falling in the lake.
Absolutely. Just wondering about the division that you used to compete in. Are you still paying attention to what's happening in the world of the featherweight division for the UFC?
I think Conor McGregor shook things up, and that's what the division needed. You know, all those. He somewhat cleaned out the division, and you know, he's taken a second turn at some of the guys like Chad Mendes, who I think is a definitely a big threat to him again. But Conor's just shaking it up. You know, now people are looking at that division and him and Poirier, and everyone's pumped to see that fight in September.
Well, you think about what Conor McGregor has the ability of doing. I spoke to Frank Trigg earlier on about this, and I firmly believe that this is a guy. I mentioned you originally because we were talking off air. I said, listen, if Mark would have became world champion, I think he could have put the 145-pound division on the world map, not just the Brazilian map, where really Jose Aldo has it, maybe a bit in the States and in Canada. Conor McGregor, if this guy becomes a world champion, I think we're talking about a Chael Sonnen at 145.
There's no question. And you know, he's got that star power, and you can't explain it, but you know, everyone's talking about, like, you know, I'm talking, walking around the gym, and everyone's asking me about him. Like, do I know him? And I'm like, that just shows the impact. It's just the everyday fighter, the everyday fan is paying attention to what he's saying and what he's doing.
Now,
and that's, you know, if you're an athlete, that's the kind of, you know, impact you want to have on fans.
He's got Dustin Poirier next, and Poirier is one of those guys that has to get hit first to really start moving. He tells me all the time, Joe, you know what? If I don't get hit, I don't feel like I'm in a fight. Now, if he hits back, Conor McGregor could be in big trouble. When you analyze this fight, is it one of those things where Conor's got to be very smart and keep his distance and not engage in a dogfight with Dustin?
Well, this is a test. There's no question. This is a top five guy, you know, and this is a big step up to what he's faced. So I think Conor is one of those guys because, you know, you just seen it on the weekend. Like, this was a big test of fighting for his home nation, you know, all the pressure, main event status, and he delivered. So he's one of those guys that seems to rise to the occasion, and I know Poirier's going to bring the best out of him. You know, if he fights fire with fire, that's Poirier's fight, though.
Now, you mentioned Jose Aldo, Chad Mendes, too. I like this fight, and I'm not saying that Chad Mendes can pull this off, but I think he's taken that gap and brought it a lot closer. Do you agree or disagree with that assessment?
100%. Like, Mendes is look unstoppable, and those are the kind of statement fights you want to make if you're going to be someone who's not just going to go and compete for the belt. You're going to go and take that. Like, he's been having all these first-round finishes. His striking's been improving, and that's the kind of guy who's going to beat Aldo. You have to be able to go through, you know, the stand-up and deal with it. You can't just take him, you know, expect to just take him down and grind him out. You have to be willing to fight fire with fire and stand in the pocket and exchange and, you know, almost go through hell to get him to that point.
It's almost ironic that Dana White is now saying that Jose Aldo is the best pound-for-pound fighter in mixed martial arts for 10 minutes. After that, it can get pretty ugly. And I think that goes back to the fight at the Rogers Center that you had that sort of, not really exposed, but took a look and said, listen, if Jose Aldo has a bad weight cut, this guy can be finished later in the fight. You think Chad Mendes tries and push him that far?
But yeah, and again, he has to be willing to go through those rounds. You're not just going to take him out in a round because he's all those. That's exactly what he is. He's so explosive, so dangerous in that first 10 minutes. And you have to be willing and ready to go through that 10 minutes to get him into the later rounds and almost take him into the deep waters.
On the line right now with Mark Komenek. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Mark Komenek. Follow yours truly, at Showdown Joe. Before we let you go, a quick update on some of the guys. I know Sammy Stout, obviously big congratulations to him. He's a new dad right now. How's he doing?
Oh, just amazing. It's nice to see you. You never expect it out of him, but he's a new man. He's you know, helping out at the gym all the time, loving coaching. Hordak is still grinding away. We've got Malcolm Gordon coming up. So the team's strong. Team Thompson is, continuing, and we're ready to celebrate August 24th with Sean Thompson Memorial Golf Tournament again.
Absolutely. Is Chris Clemens still around?
You bet. So he's just gearing up. He had an injury, and he's just rehabbing now. He's back on the mats every day, hoping to fight, before the end of the year. So I think he's looking at different divisions. He's been talking about 155, but, we'll see what happens with him. He's just, getting back into fight shape, and he'll be ready by the end of the year.
All he has to do is forget about the turtle burgers that he always makes, and he'll be fine.
We're working on that as well.
Listen, as always, thank you very much for your time, and I cannot wait to see you guys. And we'll try and get out to the gym and do a nice little feature on Malcolm as well.
Well, I appreciate the support, as always.
There you have it, Mark the Machine Hominick. Special thanks to Mark, to Joe Bonick, to Frank Trigg, and, of course, Anthony Rumble Johnson. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Fire in the sky, muzzle brown.